Friends, the theme for this Sunday in Advent is love. Now, the world talks a lot about love, but we struggle to be realistic sometimes and to really use that word with the depth of meaning that belongs with it. And so the emphasis that I make this morning is that in Christ, love gets personal. Now, you know, there is a lot of impersonal love in the world. I love the Charlie Brown declaration in the Peanuts strip from years ago, where Charlie Brown says, "I love mankind. It's people I can't stand." And you know, there's humor in that, but there's also some sad reality that that line captures something about how we sometimes deal with love. Because sometimes we talk about love, but it doesn't get personal. Or when it does begin to focus in on the personal, we draw back. And that's not what we celebrate when we talk about God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Because, you see, love without action is just a word. And there is no love that does not carry with it a certain price tag of cost or inconvenience. You know, we have a great desire for the personal. You know, when you're sick, you don't want just a remedy. You want someone there. When you're in sorrow, you don't just want a card. You want to know that, yes, there may be people who can only communicate with you in that way, but you desire to have people around you who are supporting you and encouraging you, giving you a hug, letting you know that you're loved and cared for. When you're disappointed, you really don't want to just go off in the corner. You want to have someone in your world with whom you can share that disappointment and your struggle in accepting it. And of course, obviously, when we're lonely, we don't just want someone to say, "Oh, you'll feel better tomorrow." We really want someone to be with us. You know, if you called 911, and that's something that we have in this part of the world, which many people don't have an equivalent to. But if you called 911, you wouldn't really want to get a recorded message which said, "We're busy now. Take a couple of aspirins and call us back in a day or two and we'll see if we can do something for you." Because, you see, we want that human connection. We want that personalness in love. We want to talk with someone. We want reassurance from a human voice. We want it to be personal, not just another recorded blurb. And of course, in Christmas, in the coming of Jesus Christ, love gets very personal. You know, we even sometimes, in a way, depersonalize God's love And we do it from a good beginning point, but everyone talks, you know, about, well, God is love, as though that's the whole story, without any filling in of detail or explanation. I mean, you can quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And of course, that verse stresses the depth of the Father's love. And it's not an impersonal thing. God doesn't talk like Charlie Brown. You know, I love mankind, but I can't stand people. God's love is personal and real and genuine. And in our celebration of Christmas, we rejoice in the fact that, in fact, this personal love of God came in the form of a person. Is it not what we celebrate, that God, the infinite Lord of all creation, so loved that he sent his only begotten Son? And Jesus came as a living, breathing human being, the incarnate Son of God, but truly man as well. And in that personalness, the distance that sometimes comes between us and an infinite creator is bridged. And Christ's whole ministry was demonstrating that God's love was personal. Jesus, in the course of his ministry, dealt with ordinary people, and he did so lovingly and compassionately. His frustration and sometimes anger was reserved for those who were filled with self-righteousness and who lacked love and compassion. And so what we celebrate is personal, that God loves us. God sent his Son, a person, to be with us, to provide what we require most. And this was for the intention, not just of being a momentary thing, not just a comfort to a particular generation, but this was God's step to build a relationship of love with his people for the generations to follow. And you know, here we are, celebrating God's gift of his Son a couple of thousand years later. And it all began in a kind of obscure place, in a way, in the world of that day, Bethlehem. Well, Alberton's kind of an obscure part of the world for most people. And yet, the pattern persists and continues. And there is for us every bit as much joy in what God has done in the sending of his Son, as there was for those who were present on the day of his birth. The personalness that God has for us in Jesus Christ is a personalness which not only says, I'll be with you, but But what does Jesus say to us? Jesus says, I'll take your place. If we think about the pardon and grace, the renewing of fellowship with the Father that comes through Jesus the Son, is it not as though we were told we owe a huge debt? And Jesus says, I'll take care of it. Or that we had somehow been tried for our conduct and found guilty. And Jesus says, I'll pay the price. That's how personal God's love for us is in the sending of his Son. So friends, rejoice in this, you know. For this is a love to be our source of hope and strength and encouragement. It's also a love to be shared, because it was the Lord's intention that as generation followed generation, this word of God's grace and love and blessing would be passed along. And that that love would be reflected in the lives of his people, who would in him capture a new appreciation for the depth of what love could be, and in the Spirit of Christ seek to live out that love in their own lives. And so we have the privilege of knowing that love, and we have the privilege of sharing that love. And this is all good news. And it's a simple message, but yet, in its own way, so absolutely profound. For in Christ, God's love gets personal. Thanks be to God.